Hey there, teachers. We know that testing season seems to sneak up on us every year and is often met with a unanimous sense of dread. Unfortunately, standardized tests are simply probably always going to be a part of our careers as educators, so it's crucial that we find ways to actually prepare our students to tackle those looming state tests with confidence. We are taking a deep dive in today's episode as we discuss strategies to ensure that we are preparing our students for their big tests without sacrificing engagement and rigor. All right, let's go ahead and listen in. Hi there, Caitlin here. Our mission at EB Academics is simple. Help middle school ELA teachers take back their time outside of the classroom by providing them with engaging lessons, planning frameworks, and genuine support, so that you can become the best version of yourself, both inside and outside of the classroom. So if you think you might be ready to try something new because you know you simply cannot continue the way that you have been, then I'd invite you to take a moment to check out the EB Teachers Club, the EB Writing Program, or the EB Grammar Program by visiting the links in the description of the podcast. We hope to continue to support you within one of our programs in the future. And in the meantime, we look forward to serving you right here on the podcast each week. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Teaching Middle School ELA podcast. We are talking about teaching beyond the tests. We have a new approach that we want to cover with you guys in today's episode. And we have our lovely co-host, Megan, back to join us. Hello, Megan. How's it going?
Hey, hello, Megan. Everybody. Good to see you all again.
Happy to have you here. And we have an episode airing later this month where Megan is interviewing Dr. Deanna Smith, talking about joy in the classroom. She came and spoke to our teachers at Batch Planning Live in January, and she said something that was so interesting to me. She said, "What if we measured success of our students by the joy in the classroom?" And I was like, that is such an interesting way of looking at things, of we get to decide what determines success. You know, like, why is it all these other things? Why can't we look at success through a variety of different lenses? So I'm so looking forward to that episode. And I'm excited that you are interviewing her. That's happening like this Friday that you're actually doing it. Yes. In real life, right?
In real life. Yeah. I'm super pumped. She's the best. She's just honestly a gem of a person. I've talked to her on Zoom a couple times. And then of course her presentation at Batch Planning was just stellar. So yes. I'm super excited.
Love it. So that's airing the last week of March. So make sure that you guys are on the lookout for that. We're talking about intentionally bringing joy into the classroom. But today we are talking about test taking. It is testing season. It is upon us. It is happening. And as middle school ELA teachers, you have the opportunity to prepare your students for state testing in ways that go beyond just teaching to the test. This is what's special, I think, about being able to work with this age group, is that you really can start to integrate essential skills and concepts really seamlessly into your already existing curriculum. And I like to think of it in terms of like a metaphor, that it's just like you might add ingredients to a recipe to make it richer or more flavorful or whatever it might be. That's what you can do with these test-taking ideas that we're going to share with you today and integrating it into your curriculum. Because let's face it, sticking with our recipe food example, like teaching only to the test would be like just feeding your kid zucchini, which my son would kill me if I did that to him. Like, let's just be real.
Really?
Yes.
That's the one vegetable Davey eats. The one. Like, no others. Zucchini. I hate it too, but I'm like, all right.
Whatever. Will likes cauliflower.
Oh, okay. That's great. Interesting taste buds these two have.
Like, what the heck is that?
Not the best whatever. One, but hey.
Whatever. I actually have, I should share with you guys, and I can share it on social media with our listeners too. I have an incredible zucchini cakes recipe. Have I ever?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Like where you fry them with the egg. Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Okay. But now this is a tangent, because I thought you were going to say a cauliflower recipe. And years ago, you gave me a broccoli cauliflower soup recipe.
Yes.
And it is so good.
That's very good too. Yep.
Yeah.
I have some hidden food talents. Megan is like shocked. Megan's like, I thought you only ate chocolate chip pancakes.
Which is real. That is real.
Anyways, total side note. We can share about it on social media if you guys are interested in those recipes. I'm sure that we have some listeners who would be into that type of thing.
EB cookbook. I mean, yeah.
EB cookbook. Yeah. Love it. And so like, look, talking about with staying with our metaphor of only feeding your kids zucchini, that's good for them 100%, right? We want them to get their vegetables. That's awesome. But you want to also have a well-rounded diet. You need protein. You need all the other things, right? And it's the same exact thing in the classroom. If all you do is focus on the material that's going to be on the test, what inherently happens is you're ignoring all the other important stuff that your students really need to learn. Plus, it's not really fun. Like if you just did test taking strategies with them, no one wants to be doing that. You probably don't want to be doing that. Like, let's be honest. So instead of abandoning like the novel unit that you want to do or even cutting it short and focusing only on test prep in those weeks leading up to state testing, what if you looked at it instead from a perspective of, hey, maybe I can incorporate some fun test prep activities into my already existing curriculum? So like what would need to be true in order for that to happen? And so today we're going to share some ideas about how you can choose texts and activities that align with the skills and content that's assessed on state tests. So in the weeks leading up to state testing, I want you to think of yourself like a basketball coach. You know, I love my sports analogies. And just like a coach prepares their team for competition, you can and should spend time familiarizing your students with the test format. You want to teach them some time management techniques. You even want to give students some test-taking practice opportunities, but you want to do it in a fun way, absolutely, with your students so that it's not this boring thing for them. But this preparation can really be short and sweet. It doesn't have to be these like weeks-long thing of every day you're focused on one specific type of test-taking strategy. Like, no. Let's do it short and sweet, and then you go back to your regularly scheduled curriculum so that your students can apply those strategies into their lesson. So when we go into these strategies, I think the way in which I'm describing this is going to make a little bit more sense to you. So today we're going over three different strategies. Number one is explicitly teaching direction words that are commonly found on state tests. Number two is using your current text to practice using those direction words. And then number three, as always at EB, is to incorporate some fun, like rigor and engagement. Let's keep it fun for our kids. And it's when you do all three of those things that test prep isn't something that you dread, that your students dread. It's really just seamlessly woven into your everyday lessons in an engaging and fun way. And so we actually have an awesome zero prep test prep activity that ties in all three of these strategies for you. Some of you probably already have it if you follow us on social media. But if you don't have this test prep resource yet, I'm going to include the link for you in the show notes where you can download it and grab it for free. And you'll be able to take exactly what we talk about on this episode and start to implement it into your classroom. So Jessica, I'm going to have you start with strategy number one. Kick us off.
Yes. All about the direction words. So with this strategy, like Caitlin said, it's really important to explicitly teach these words to your students because they're found on state tests. So this might look like taking a class period or two to go over these words and their definitions. Now, like in an ideal world, you're actually doing this all year long, right? This is like our tier two academic vocabulary. But if your students don't know these words, then absolutely you take one or two class periods to do it. So when we talk about direction words, really we mean words like analyze, explain, illustrate, compare, contrast, interpret, summarize, demonstrate, indicate, describe, infer, support, define, convey. You get the idea, right? Those are those words students are consistently being asked questions with, whether it is on state testing or honestly, just in writing a response to literature or an argumentative essay or even on short text-dependent questions. So it's important that they understand what those words mean and how they're being used. Because if you think about it, if you don't even understand what that word means, then how can we expect students to actually do well on their test or take a discussion to the next level or write an essay that makes sense? And we're going to go back to that cooking analogy here, except this time we're going with bread. So I want you to think about if you're trying to make homemade bread, I feel like everyone and their mother is learning to make sourdough bread and talking about their sourdough starters online.
The thing. Yes.
Yes. So if you're trying to make homemade bread and the directions say, activate the yeast. And you're like, okay, but I have no idea what activate means. Do you think your bread is going to turn out right? Is it going to look like the pictures you see and like all your hopes and dreams for the sourdough bread? Well, of course not, unless you know that activate means to take the yeast and dissolve it in warm liquid first. So it's the same thing with direction words. Our students need to understand what does infer mean? What does convey mean? They have to be able to identify it, define it, and then understand how is that being used in a question so that then they can effectively answer it. And like, that's a tall order. So we need to start with understanding those direction words. And then Megan, you can segue into the next strategy. What do you do with those direction words once you know them?
For sure. I'm having flashbacks to Schitt's Creek and folding the cheese.
100%.
Like, the best scene.
Fold it in.
You just fold it in. The best Very scene. Important to define the terms. So as Jessica mentioned, after you've explicitly taught these words, it's time for strategy two, which is to use current text to practice using these words. And so to help students really master these words, it's really crucial to have them consistently review them in class. And so we have a few ideas where you can help students review them. One would be to make a word wall. And some of you might be thinking that's a very elementary strategy, but we've mentioned before that those strategies we use with younger kids really translate well to middle school classrooms. And I had a word wall in my room all the time for vocab words. So I think it's a great tip. Another tip is to use words in class discussions. Could be, you know, a very informal whole group discussion. You could be using like a fishbowl small group discussion. Whatever it is, use those words in those discussions. And then the final tip is to do a whole group activity where you're actually analyzing how these direction words are used in different questions. So then once students are familiar with those words, we ask you to kind of consider how you can incorporate them into your existing curriculum and lesson plans. So let's say you're in the middle of a novel or a short story unit, or maybe it's even informational text. Consider how you can make some or all of these words show up every day in some capacity in your lessons. We have a few examples here for you. So you could use direction words in the questions you create for a Socratic seminar or a silent debate. I loved silent debates when I was teaching like short stories or novels, and my kids did too. So if I were to bring those, you know, question words, those direction words into those silent debates, what a great way for them to practice them, right? Another idea is to use an investigation trail, which is another one of my favorite activities. And if you're not familiar with investigation trails, they're just simply a teaching strategy where students work in small groups to answer a series of questions that you have posted around the room. So each question includes multiple choice answers, and then depending on what answer your students choose, they're directed to another question in the room. So if they answer each question correctly, students will complete a full loop of all the questions. But if they find themselves at a question they've already answered, that tells them that at least one of their answers is incorrect and they need to go back through and figure out where they went wrong. It's a very fun activity. So you can use investigation trails for a variety of concepts. You know, maybe it's identifying the main idea in informational text or analyzing connotations and denotations, or maybe it's finding relevant text evidence. Whatever it is, with an investigation trail, you're just coming up with 10 questions that have multiple choice answers, and then you make sure the questions all include those commonly found direction words that we've been talking about. A big tip here is to take advantage of AI when you're creating these types of activities, right? So ChatGPT, Magic School AI are great sources to help you come up with these lessons containing direction words. You can easily copy and paste passages from your current novel or short story into these AI sites, and then just ask it to create multiple choice questions, you know, using those different direction words, indicate, infer, whatever it is. You can also have AI create passages based on the topics or units you're currently doing in class, and then have it create questions around those. So maybe, you know, you're doing a civil rights unit. Have it create a passage for you. Have it create questions for you. We do encourage everyone to, you know, proofread for accuracy when you're using AI, because it's not perfect, but it will save you a ton of time in the end, especially, you know, if you're going to use these next year as well. And then I believe Caitlin has strategy three.
Yes, I'm going to round us out. So basically, again, to reiterate, you are direct instructioning in this situation with these direct with these words, these direction words, right? I know that's not a thing, but you get what I'm saying.
I like it, though. Direct instructioning.
Coined a new term. Then you're incorporating it into your lesson, right? And strategy number three at EB is just you want to have some fun with your test prep. So we've got three different test prep activities. If you're one of our EB Teachers Club members, one is centered around a treasure hunt, one centered around candy, and another involves mini golf. You know I love my golf, if you know me well. And the resource that's free for you guys in the show notes, that's a free download for you that is test prep, it has a theme for it too. So it's always incorporating some sort of fun thing. So make sure that you download it. Make sure you go using that in your classroom with your students. And what I love about just having some sort of fun theme around it is that you can make it an extremely low prep thing to do in your classroom, right? Even if you're doing an investigation trail, you could do it from like the perspective of mini golf as one of our examples. And as students go to answer each question on the investigation trail, perhaps they're literally just you know, trying to put a ball into a cup at the end, and that's where they go answer the question. I mean, it doesn't have to be some crazy thing, Jess.
It doesn't. And I'm just thinking, in our mini golf resource, we suggest a marble and a ruler, things you probably have in class, and like do it into a cup, and it takes 30 seconds, but it's like, oh, that was fun. We played golf today. Well, kind of, totally. But still.
And that's probably a little bit more safe than like bringing a club into right. the classroom. I just think about my son with his golf clubs when he was little. I'd be like, oh my God, you're going to hit somebody. It's dangerous. But again, like to Jessica's point, it can be extremely low prep. It can be done that week leading up into the big test, right? You feel good. You're doing things that are standards aligned that are going to help your students be prepared for the test, but they're happy, right? They're having fun because they're competing against their classmates in some capacity. So when you are incorporating something like this into your existing curriculum, whether it's a bonus activity or an investigation trail, it's a current novel, whatever it might be, it not only helps your students do well on the state tests, but it also makes the learning process more enjoyable for them. So I know I've said it like three times. Make sure that you go download that free resource that's included for you guys in our show notes for test prep so that you can take exactly what we're talking about here and utilize it in your classroom with your students. Before we go though, Jessica, you have a low prep game that I know you want to share with our listeners.
I do. I'm kind of obsessed with this game. I learned it recently at a conference and I immediately went back to the curriculum team. I'm like, we have to use this in a resource. So it's coming in a future resource, but I want to share it with all of you because it is so easy to prep on your own and it makes perfect sense with test prep. So this game is called Clap, Boom, Snatch. I always wanted to say snap, but it's snatch, like you're grabbing something. So basically what you would do is you would create or have AI create 10, 8, 7, however many multiple choice questions you want. And you want to make sure that there are three answer choices for those questions. So of course, you're going to use those direction words. You're going to tie it into the text you're already reading. So you're using the strategies we just shared, but now you get to incorporate some fun. So I've got my questions, right? And what I would suggest you do is actually project them for the class. So they see on your smart board or whatever you're using, the question and then the three answer choices. Then what you'll do is you'll divide your class into partners. So let's say Caitlin and Megan are partners. What they will need to have in front of them is three index cards that you just fold in half. And on both sides of the index card, you would have A. And then on both sides of the next index card, B. And on both sides of the third index card, C, to match the answers. Are you guys following so far?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So then I would read the first question on the board. And again, just if you listened to our episode recently with Pat from the curriculum team, we talked about visuals for differentiating. So it's also displayed so everyone can read it. I read the question. They're reading the question. I give a ton of wait time. This is really important here for this game. So students need to think about the answer they're selecting in their head. So maybe it's like, identify the theme of this passage, right? So they read the little passage. They think about what identify means. They read the three answer choices. They have their answer. Okay, Caitlin's going, all right, I think it's A. Megan's saying, I think it's B. But they don't say anything. It's just in their heads. Whenever you're ready, then here comes the fun part. I, as the teacher, would say, clap. Caitlin, Megan, and the rest of the class would clap their hands together. I say, boom. They put their palms face down and slap the desk. So boom. And I can go fast. Clap, clap, boom, boom, clap, clap. But if I say snatch, they both have to snatch the index card. So Caitlin would snatch A, Megan would snatch B. And then my next slide would reveal the answer. The correct answer is actually C. Who knows, right? But it's so much fun. Like I played it at the conference. Our whole table loved it. And I was like, this is so easy. You can use it for anything. You can make it competitive and keep track of points or not at all. I don't even think students would need the point system here. It's just fun. They're going to be like, do another one. Well, great. You've got 9 more questions already ready to go. So you're practicing these direction words. You're aligning with your standards with the text you're already using. And it's super fun. So clap, boom, snatch.
Love it. And you know what it reminds me of as you're saying it? Have you heard of the game Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza?
I've heard of it. I've never played it. Is it similar?
Kind of. Because like basically like as you put your cards down, you say like taco cat. You always follow that sequence. Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza. Like that's all of the cards that'll show up as you flip them over. And if you flip the card over, that is the word that you're saying, you have to slap the deck and you win it. It's kind of like war, but like,
yeah, mm-hmm. but it's fun and fast paced.
Fun and fast paced. So I like mm-hmm. the like clap, boom, like until yes. you say snatch, because you really got to freaking listen.
Yes. And like, of course, you know, the presenter was having a lot of fun with it and you're just like antsy to do it. You're like, oh, she didn't say it yet. So it's super cool.
Love it. Well, that is a great game. And hopefully you guys take that and utilize it in your classrooms. And if you do, let us know over on Instagram at EB Academics. So we know that it's just as fun as Jessica has described for you guys in your classroom with your students. So don't let state testing season stress you out. Look, I think that's the message we want you to walk away with at the end of the day. Use it instead as an opportunity. Let's make learning more engaging, more effective for our students. We're not going to worry about like going off of our curriculum and spending all this time getting ready for the test just to stress everybody out. Like, no, let's utilize what we already have. Let's make it a fun opportunity for students. And just, you know, not put too much pressure on yourself. At this stage in the game, they're either going to do well or they're not. You know what I mean? You've been preparing them all year. And in fact, I would say that the less stressed they are about it, the better they're going to perform on the actual test. So thank you, Megan, for joining us for today's episode. Loved this one so much. And we will be back next week to talk again about differentiation. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to last week's, we talked all about whole group differentiation. But next week, we're going to talk about a simple hack to differentiate your lessons. We also have another free download for you, focused on Bloom's taxonomy that we're excited to share with you that we think is going to be really helpful. So make sure that you guys join us next week. All right. Thanks so much, everybody. And we'll see you guys later.
Hi, everybody.
Bye, everybody.